Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, welcome inside the final hour of the Jason Smith Show with Aaron Torres in for Mike Harmon, where Max Scherzer has his shirt off celebrating with Dodger fans after the Dodgers 2-1 win over the Giants. You know who Max Scherzer is, AT? Okay. Max Scherzer is, to try to relate to someone you would know, you ever go to a party or, you know, when you were a kid, but it was an adult party where the kids get to go, and it's a pool party in the summer, and parents start, you know, drinking over the course of the entire day, and there's the dad with his shirt off that's yelling and screaming the whole time, and he's jumping into the water with cannonballs, and he's, you know, spraying things out. That's kind of who Max Scherzer is, except he's, you know, one of the best pitchers in baseball and a multi-millionaire.
I was going to say, he only has $500 million in the bank or whatever it is.
Yeah, but that's kind of who, when I see him doing that, I'm like, yeah, he's like the dad at the pool party that's like, oh, man, he's a cool dad, man. Look, he's out of control. Look, he's having a lot of fun running around there. That's kind of who he is. Pushing people over when they're laying on the float. They don't want to go in the water, but they'll push him in the water. That's kind of who Scherzer is.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, he's the guy that you show up at the party and you're like, oh, you know, you meet the wife at the door and you say, oh, yeah, you know, I brought this lovely cheese platter. And, oh, there's your husband in the back with his shirt off and it's 8:30 in the morning. So, yeah. He's that guy. Yeah. Like, bro, the game ended the game literally ended like 7 minutes ago. You can't be drunk. You must be the lightest lightweight that ever there was, or you're just, I don't know, but yeah.
So Max Scherzer is one of the heroes. Certainly home plate umpire Doug Eddings, also one of the heroes tonight. First base umpire, also one of the heroes tonight, Gabe Morales, as Wilmer Flores called out on a really bad check swing. Meanwhile, the batter before Wade called out on a called strike three that's not a strike. Look, the Giants, I get how upset they are. It should not have ended this way. Those were awful. They were brutal calls. But as we've talked about it, look, the odds of the Giants winning that game are really low, right? I mean, you know, they're really low. And that's where we're at this point. It's not like the bases were loaded and it was a 3-2 count. And if that pitch is called a ball, that brings in the tying run, right? You didn't have a runner in scoring position. Scherzer was pitching really well. The inning should have been over already, except Justin Turner biffs a grounder to him that he should have made, that he makes a play on 99 times out of 100. It's not like there was a real big chance for the Giants. When I get it, took it away from it. But more than likely, it's a 1-2 count. The outcome is Max Scherzer wins that battle against Wilmer Flores. Not just because Max Scherzer's a great pitcher and Wilmer Flores is an average player, but this is what the odds of success are in Major League Baseball. Because you fail more often than not. You know, you fail, you know, 2.5, you succeed 2.5 times out of 10. That's Wilmer Flores. So how is he going to succeed when it's a 1-2 count against Max Scherzer, one of the best pitchers in baseball? The chance they have to win that game at that point is so low. And that's what I say. Not that Giants fans shouldn't complain, because they should, because those are still two really bad calls, but it makes it a little bit easier to take that, boy, that check swing by Flores from winning it.
Well, and it's really funny because, you know, I think Gabe Kapler, somewhere in between finishing off that game and walking back to the press room, I think he might have been listening to Jason Smith and Aaron Torres, because here is what he said in the post-game press conference. He said, you know, there's other people to blame. I'm trying to find the exact quote here, but essentially he said there are other reasons that we lost other than the umpires. You know, a series comes down to a lot of different things, and so the exact quotes among many were, you've got to tip your cap to the work that they did. There are other reasons we didn't win tonight's game. And those are the things that we talked about last segment, Jason, is, you know, you could criticize the refs or the umps, excuse me. You could criticize this. You could criticize that. The Giants were up 2-1 in this series. The Giants were at home in game 5, and they had a million chances, and they got a great performance to start the game from Logan Webb. They had all the opportunities in the world. This series, this game did not come down to one play, did not come down to one pitch. I think Gabe Kapler accepts that. I think Giants fans on social media got to accept it as well.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Aaron at Aaron underscore Torres. You want to hear just how bad that call is, though, because it was. This is the call from AM 570, Dodger flagship station here in Los Angeles. Listen to Charlie Steiner, play-by-play guy. Listen to how surprised he is that that call is strike three.
0-2, Scherzer to Flores. Just outside. He went around. Strike three, Gabe Morales, the first base umpire. The Dodgers are going to the National League Championship Series.
I mean, he went around. It's strike three. Like, Charlie's already got his next comment ready, what I'm going to say, everything. Oh, no, it's over. Strike three. It's it. The game's over. The game's over. The Dodgers win. That's amazing. Dodgers win. Nobody thought that he went around. Nobody did. But yet, that was the call by Gabe Morales.
By the way, I just want to say the biggest Dodgers fan in Los Angeles has just chimed in. LeBron James tweeting, moving on. Congrats, Dodgers. Keep going. So we got to L.A. about 10 minutes ago, biggest Dodgers fan going. So, great to have the support of LeBron James behind this team. I know it's what everybody was waiting for. So thank you to LeBron for signing off, for giving his seal of approval on this.
Well, what do you expect? The Yankees are out. That's his real team. So
when the Indians aren't playing, when the Cleveland team isn't playing because he's from Cleveland, I mean,
right.
I'm old enough to see there's a lot of young people listening that probably aren't even old enough to remember. I remember when it was a controversy when he showed up to a Cleveland Indians playoff game with a Yankee. Was it with the Yankees hat? I believe it was with the Yankees hat, or he had been a Yankees fan, but he said he was rooting for Cleveland. So, LeBron, I'm just teasing LeBron stands. Everybody calm down.
No, it's okay. Why? Well, you think LeBron's gonna call LeVar Ball? LeVar Ball's gonna come get mad at you? Is that what's gonna happen?
Oh, he's not calling LeVar, but I don't think the Ball family is very fond of LeBron when LeBron got the whole team traded a year and a half ago. So it worked out well for Lonzo. He's making a lot of money in Chicago. But by the way, very random. I did get a kick out of this summer when they were trying to bust the Bulls for tampering with Lonzo, even though Russell Westbrook was talking about a meeting with Anthony Davis and LeBron James at LeBron's house in L.A. So I don't know what made me I know what made me think of it. But, yes, LeBron has chimed in. LeBron has given his blessing. So now we can start the NLCS. Very exciting stuff.
Now, meanwhile, let's go back a little bit because I want to say something about a player who gives me a Derek Jeter vibe to the point where there's times I say, you know, we talk a lot about Mike Trout and different players like that, where this guy is the best player of the last 5 years, all-around player in Major League Baseball. Here's how the Dodgers got their first run. It's not the guy who hit the ball. It's the guy who scored the run.
The 2-0, line drive, left field, over the head of Longoria. In the score is Mookie Betts on the RBI. Stretches it into a double, and the Dodgers take a 1-0 lead.
Charlie Steiner again, AM 570 with the call. Mookie Betts, 4-for-4 tonight for the Dodgers in their win over the Giants. He had 4 of the Dodgers' 8 hits. He comes around to score the first run after a single and stealing second base. All right. When I watch Derek Jeter play, and you know, when I was in my early 20s when Jeter comes up, and so I've gotten to see his whole career from the long lens of, look, I understand what's going on. I'm not in some kind of, you know, alcohol-induced haze when I'm 20 years old going, Jeter is the best. He's fantastic. There are times when I looked at Derek Jeter and said, he's the best baseball player I've ever seen. Because of what he does in clutch moments, he always makes the right play, right? He always made, whether it was on defense, whether it was him getting a flare for a base hit to drive in a run. Sometimes it was a home run. Sometimes it's taking an extra base on a pass ball that doesn't get far enough away from the catcher, but he still is able to do it. He always right play and the biggest clutch play at the right time. And certainly we have a lot of postseason of Derek Jeter to look back on and go, yeah, all these different things he's done. I get that same vibe out of Mookie Betts, is that whenever something big is happening, whether it's Red Sox, Dodgers, he's the guy that comes up with the right play. And sometimes it's a home run. Sometimes it's a great defensive play. I'm diving to prevent a double that would have brought in 2 runs. Sometimes it's I'm going to steal second base, and that way I come around to score on Corey Seager's hit and not get stuck at third and have to hope for another hit. There's so many times when I see him do that and I go, man, this guy is really the best player in baseball. And it's not just about his stats, because his stats are good, but the runs knock in more runs. Their WAR is still pretty good. But this is a guy, Mookie Betts, his WAR is up at 6, 7, 9, and he's a 32 and 80 guy. He steals, you know, anywhere between 10 and 30 bases a year. He hits 300. He makes all the clutch plays. He is that kind of guy. He gives me that Derek Jeter vibe. And if you said back, okay, who's the best baseball years, I would go, man, yeah, Mike Trout is great. Mike Trout hasn't been to the postseason, and Mookie Betts has a couple of World Series, and he could be on his way to getting another one. And he's made so many big plays in all of both of those World Series that he's won. There's times when I go, maybe Mookie Betts is the best player in Major League, but the best all-around player in Major League Baseball.
And I think that's part of it, right? And I understand, you know, Mike Trout, that you're limited by your teammates, and this is a team sport. It's baseball more than maybe any other. But at the same time, what you just said is right, Jason. I mean, think about it. First of all, he's with the Red Sox, franchise player, comes up with the organization, leads them to a World Series and whatever it was, 2018, 2019. Then goes to a franchise in the Dodgers. And we all, anyone who's watched baseball at all over the last decade knows, great organization. They won a million straight division titles until this year. But the point that I'm trying to get to is he gets to the Dodgers, and for years they're right on the cusp. And you know, it's so funny. You mentioned you've been in LA for about 10 years. I've been in LA for about 10 years. I got here in 2012 in that first division title, and it was playoff. Can't get over the hump. Don't trust Kershaw. It's this, it's that. Get to the World Series, lose to the Astros. Get to the World Series, lose to the Red Sox. Lose to the Nationals in the first round, and we think is this dynasty that never even got started starting to crumble. He comes in, he is the difference. He is the guy that put them over the top. I made the analogy earlier in the show that, you know, LeBron in L.A., people can argue with me, they could disagree. I know I was just teasing about LeBron a minute ago, but he is a mercenary. He came here for reasons other than wanting to be a Laker. We all know that he had interest off the court, which is his prerogative. He's absolutely allowed to. But when the Lakers won the championship last year, they weren't chanting LeBron, LeBron, LeBron in the streets. They were chanting, unfortunately, Kobe after the passing of Kobe. I only bring that up to say, when the Dodgers won the World Series, everyone rallied around Mookie Betts because he was the missing piece. He will always be that icon in Los Angeles for putting them over the top. And now the question becomes, I don't think it's going to be just one by the time Mookie Betts is done, because as you said, Jason, he is a guy that just continues to make plays, continues to put this organization on their back, and they are once again in the NLCS.
An amazing night for the Dodgers to win. And again, remember, I said Dodgers in five, and it kind of happened that way. So it really kind of made it that way. Look, Betts is a guy, look, 120 games this year. But you look back at his body of work, and we talk about the all-around player, and that's kind of hit the wall in the last few years in baseball, just because we like the big stats. We like what Bryce Harper does and what Jose Abreu can do. But that all-around player that continue to play well in the field, because look, as I said, Jeter would make great plays in the field too. You know, it's not just the flip against the A's. It's, you know, it's other big things, going to the stands for a ball against the Red Sox in a game that wound up getting Nomar traded because of Jeter's effort in that game. There's so many things on both sides of the ball, and Mookie Betts kind of is that guy. And when you get to do it on a big stage in the playoffs, yeah, I'm sorry, that matters more than being able to do it over the course of the regular season and your team doesn't get to the playoffs. It's not your fault they don't get to the playoffs, but I can't take away from Betts and say, okay, well, I got to throw it out what he can do compared to what Trout can do. Trout's not in the playoffs. No, I kind of got to give Mookie Betts credit, because this is what you're paying the guy for. You're paying the guy $30 million a year for nights exactly like this. 100% exactly like this, and he comes through all the time. Yeah. I mean it. Times I think last 5 years he's about.
That's totally fair. And you know, listen, the sport of baseball has become so analytically driven. I think all sports have, but baseball more than any other. Like, wins and losses still matter. And again, I get it's a team sport. I get that an individual player in baseball can't put an entire organization on his back. And if the talent isn't there around him, but winning does matter. And in winning time, he is great. And as you said, I don't think it's a coincidence that everywhere he goes, they have success. Won a World Series in Boston, comes to LA, they immediately win a World Series, back in the NLCS, win 106 games in the regular season. I'm with you. I think he's the best player in baseball. I get the Trout stuff. I don't care about the analytics. Get to the playoffs. Do something there. Mookie Betts does it year in, year out.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with Aaron Torres in for Mike Harmon and Wilmer Flores' check swing. Let me just say this, Wilmer, I love you. We'll always have the walk-off against the Nationals. Wilmer. The final out of the Dodger-Giants game is gaining a lot of notoriety now. Tying run at first, 0-2 count on Wilmer Flores, Max Scherzer in to close out the game for the Dodgers. Let's have the play on the final call because we got some crazy stuff coming up in the next few minutes.
0-2, Scherzer to Flores. Just outside. He went around. Strike three. Gabe Morales, the first base umpire. The Dodgers are going to the National League Championship Series.
Charlie Steiner on AM 570 with the call. Yes, Charlie is shocked as anybody that that was strike three. It was not strike three. It was a clear holdup on a check swing, and the Giants really got rooked on that. But like I've been saying, it's not like they had an incredible taken out of their hands, and that sucks, right? You never want a game to end that way with calls. Because really, the call on Wade, the batter before, that wasn't a strike. Kind of backdoor curve that Scherzer threw that was high. It was outside. And getting a strike three call on that, he was really – the back-to-back of these calls were both really bad. But let's be honest. The Wilmer Flores thing, it's not like you were at a 99% chance of winning the game. It was still really, really low because you're talking about a run. Runner at first, a one out. How often do guys succeed in that situation? The math tells you more than likely, way more than likely, the Dodgers were going to win. But let's hear from Giants manager Gabe Kapler, who had just talked about this a couple seconds ago. He was asked about the final call of the game and the check swing strike three call on Wilmer Flores.
You have not been one to talk much about umpire decisions, but that final check swing call seemed as if it really angered a lot of people. What were your thoughts on that and how'd you see it?
Super tough. I mean, obviously, you don't want a game to end that way. I know these guys work really hard to make the right call, so it's super challenging on our end. Obviously, it's going to be frustrating to have a game in like that, but pretty high-quality hitter at the plate that can climb back into that count. It's no guarantee of success at the end of the at-bat. It's just a tough way, for especially right now. There's no need to be angry about that. I just think it's just a disappointing way to end. There are other reasons we didn't win today's baseball game, so that was just the last call of the game, and yeah, that's enough.
Jason, let me jump in there. So, a couple things. One, it's the diplomatic thing to do. Do you think, you know, I don't think you lose a locker room after you win 107 games. He's going to remember by the time spring training rolls around. But as a player, you know, we all played sports. Do you want your manager to go to bat for you a little bit more than that? And by the way, I think Gabe Kapler's right. I said it the second the game went final. It doesn't ever come down to one pitch, one play, one at bat. It's a five-game series. But if I was a player, I'd kind of be like, come on, Skip. Like, come on, that was a terrible call. Go up, yell, scream, do something. I don't know. I respect Gabe Kapler. I think he's 100% right that the series didn't come down to that one non-check swing. But at the same time, I would like to see a little bit more fire out of him if I'm a player.
Yeah, look, I thought he was really accurate with saying, hey, look, you're not guaranteed the success of the at-bat, which is what I've been saying, right? You're not guaranteed that he's going to, do something. This is not like where you throw a touchdown in the final 2 minutes of a game and a bogus pass interference call stops you. Like, well, we made the play. No, this is, okay, it would have been 1-2, and likely the percentage of success was gone. But I agree with you, because what I think Gabe Kapler got caught up in, like, this is a guy that played the game for a long time, and he's looking for the right answer to say, right? What's the right baseball answer? Baseball never comes down to the final at bat. Baseball is always about different things. There's other reasons why we lost. And I think in thinking too much, he still tried to take the pressure off of Wilmer Flores by saying, listen, that's not why we lost the game. There's other reasons why we lost it. So I think he still tried to do it at the end. But yeah, I'd like to see a little bit of, you know, that was a horrible call. And, you know, I feel awful for Wilmer, but that's not why we lost the game. Like, he could have gone a little bit further on it. And if you get fined 10 grand, you get fined 10 grand or 20 grand, whatever it is. Yeah, you stand up for your guy a little bit more. It's not like he threw him under the bus, but I like to say it. I think he got caught up in a little bit of, hey, I'm going to explain to you what this is all about, instead of just, hey, the emotion is I stand up for my player and I take some of the heat when he's not supposed to get it or he's not going to get it.
Yeah, and I think he was trying to be diplomatic. And I think, you know, when coaches and managers and whomever, when they blame the refs, they blame the umpires, then we in the media come out and criticize. It wasn't, you know, don't blame the refs. You lost because you punted on fourth, whatever. I get that. But I also do feel like sometimes you have to live in the moment a little bit. You don't always have to be diplomatic. And I'm not saying Gabe Kapler is always diplomatic. I'm just saying, like there's a time and a place where you can get up there and you can yell and scream. And like you said, there's a way to do it in which, listen, I respect the heck out of the umpires, but how are you going to let my season, 162 games plus 5 in the postseason, these guys have worked too hard. They deserve better. I mean, there's just a way to do it where you can be respectful, where, you know, Gabe Kapler was talking about that, like it's you know, game 47 and you know, May 26th, you know. And so I hear it, and I respect him for taking the high road, for probably doing what is right. But if I'm a guy in that locker room, man, I'm like, my season just ended on that, and that's all you got to say, Skip? Come on, go to bat for me a little bit more.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Aaron at Aaron_Torres, the Jason Smith Show with AT in for Mike Harmon. Now, it's funny you went back to the regular season, because what's gaining, this is the slimmest of margins, the two teams, they're one game apart in the regular season. This is how close they were. Many people are pointing out a game from July 22nd, Giants-Dodgers, in which Darren Ruff, who had a home run tonight, got a really awful call on a check swing of his own with the bases loaded and a 3-2 count in the ninth inning. Kenley Jansen throws a fastball by Ruff, who clearly swings, but neither the home plate umpire nor the first base umpire saw it that way. So instead of strike three and the game is over, Ruff goes down to first. The tying run crosses the plate. The Giants go on to win 5-3, and that's the margin of winning the NL West and having to play in the play-in game. And there's a lot of, hey, these calls are even, and now the calls are even out. One bad call for the check swing versus one bad call here. Let me just stop for a second. You're insane if you think that's equal. You can't call a check swing call in a July game in the regular season the same thing as here's a check swing call in game 5 that ends the NLDS with a tying run at first base. There's no way that's the same thing. That's like me saying, hey, I'm going to have a cookie at lunch. Okay, great. And then my wife saying, well, all right, now I'm going to have a big dish of ice cream and with a big sundae on it after dinner. Why can't I have that? Well, you had dessert already earlier today. You can't have two desserts. But it was just a tiny cookie. It was a real tiny Entenmann's cookie. It was really good, but it was tiny. It was small. No, but you've had your dessert. I'm now having my dessert. Wait, why can't I have this sundae? Nope, because I'm having it. You had your dessert. You can't compare anything from a random regular season game to the same thing as the final out of the NLDS. That's just ridiculous. I mean, sometimes we go overboard with the comparisons of all the slim margin of victory and defeat between these two teams. And yes, it was, but you can't tell me that that's nearly the same thing. You can't do that.
No, it's not. And so that's really funny. I hadn't even seen people referencing it, but no, this is a little bit of a different deal. You can't compare one to the other. But by the way, man, what a crazy way to end not only a game, but a season for the San Francisco Giants. I'm still not over it. I know I keep repeating the same thing, but I keep coming back to it. The season doesn't come down to it. I would like to see a little bit more piss and vinegar out of Gabe Kapler. Great season for the Giants. And I'll tell you, we're getting closer to Dodgers-Astros, maybe, in the World Series. You know, Dodgers, obviously, Red Sox would be fun as well. So a lot to take out of tonight, but...
No. Come on. Dodgers-Astros, what everybody wants.
Yeah, okay. You're right. You're right. You're right. I was trying to be diplomatic.
The cheaters and the team that got cheated out of it? Oh, yeah. Let's see Dodgers-Astros.
Sorry, Braves fans. Sorry, Red Sox fans. That's what we all want, though. Yes.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Carmen. I'm Dan Beyer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Carmen and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Even though the Dodgers were likely going to win, it's a bad optic to end on such a really bad call that's not reviewable. Because we can review tons of other stuff, but you can't review check swings. This is not going to go into next season without this being adjusted. That we should be able to review check swings. Now, the review process in Major League Baseball still hasn't been streamlined as much as it should be. You still time out. Here come the umpires who are all going to walk very slowly. They're going to put their headsets on. They're going to sit around for a couple of minutes. They're going to wait. So how are you going to do this and say, well, we can't, we're going to review check swings like in the third inning? They're going to borrow from the NBA. I guarantee you this, AT, where you're going to see that after the seventh inning, in games, you can review check swings with runners on base. Something where you're allowed to review at the end of a game where things really matter. Sort of like the final two-minute rule in the NBA where you can go back and look at a whole bunch of different things that you wouldn't go back and look at early on in the game, but you're going to get to go back and look at when they came out with that a few years ago. That's kind of how I see MLB solving this, because there's no way they can walk away from this and just go, yeah, we don't need more replay. No, a team just went home because of that last pitch that was really, really awful that we couldn't review it. And I know you're going to get a pushback from the umpires, because anytime you want to add more review, the umpires want to dig in and say, oh, no, you're getting into our livelihood, and pretty soon there's going to be robots back there anyway. But this is something you kind of have to have, where you can look back, and I don't think the umps would get so mad at it, because it's all right, well, if you're talking about after the seventh inning, if we go back for review, we can do that to look at it. I'm okay with it. As long as it's something limited in that way, I think it'll work.
Well, and it's funny because the specific play that this game ended on is such a vague thing anyway. It's like they kind of, you know, you kind of have to start the swing, but you don't have to start the swing. You know, I was seeing a tweet from somebody that says the MLB rulebook defines a swing in this case as an attempt to strike the ball, which keeps things really vague. And it kind of reminds me of, you know, 2, 3, 4 years ago in the NFL when we were trying to figure out what a catch was there for a minute. It's like, well, you know, if you make, you have to have, you know, establish control and make a football play, and it's like, what's a football play? They're all football plays. Everything's a football play. And this is one of those rules in baseball that it's like, we've been playing this game 150 years. You'd think that at some point we could come up with something a little bit more definitive. And so in a case like this, you know, it leaves it up to the discretion of the umpires. There's not really much you can replay. And so tough way to end the game, tough way to end the season. Obviously, it's not the reason the Giants lost, but I do understand the frustration from people that support the team.
Twitter at how about a Fresca, Aaron at Aaron_Torres. Baseball, look, eventually are we going to wind up getting robot umpires and robot umps? I mean, maybe, but baseball is always drag kicking and screaming into change, right? It always is. And there's definitely things that happen that foster more change, that foster less change, right? Like, for instance, I said this at the beginning, right before we got to the playoffs. If the Yankees and Dodgers each go out after one game, right? They each lose the one-game playoff. That rule is going to change for Major League Baseball next year. We're going to get extra teams in the playoffs, and everybody's going to get at least three or more games because Major League Baseball wants the Yankees and Dodgers in. It's more money. It's more revenue. It's more everything for Major League Baseball. And it's only when bad things or controversial things happen to the Yankees or Dodgers that we're going to get change, whether it's for the Yankees or against the Yankees or for the Dodgers or against the Dodgers. So you had the double barrel of, hey, if the Yankees lose their one-game playoff and the Dodgers lose, boy, baseball loses big time, because you're talking about the two top television markets and the two most popular teams and the two teams that everybody watches whether you love them or hate them. That's a big blow for Major League Baseball. So they would say, all right, we can't have that happen again. The Yankees are always going to be the Yankees. The Dodgers are going to be the Dodgers. We'll make that change. Now, this involves the Dodgers, right? It involves the Giants, which is great, but it really involves the Dodgers. And here are the Dodgers who go on because of a bad call. That's going to get fixed. That's going to get some. This was game five of the NLDS, and it was the Braves and the Cardinals. Oh, well. Right. Well,
true.
Right.
It's
no,
true.
I'm sorry. Hey, sorry about that, Freddie Freeman. But yeah, no, you're not. I'm sorry. Nothing's happening. But that's it. Certain teams, the movers and shakers, make it happen. And that's why it's going to happen. Because it happened to the Dodgers, we're going to get that change next season.
I think it's fair, Jason. I think it's fair.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Aaron at Aaron_Torres, The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon, AT, in for Mike. We put a nice bow on the night next. We got big takes on the NFL game and game one of the NLCS for the Dodgers on Saturday.
I'm very, very excited about it.
Yes, it's Tim Tebow. Good luck,
I'm so
Tim.
Excited.
Wait till we tell you. That's next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Diet Coke!
And we just saw one of the great endings in Major League Baseball. The Dodgers beat the Giants 2-1 in a controversial check swing strikeout. Wilmer Flores does not walk off. He instead strikes out. The Dodgers go on to the NLCS, and the Giants go home. Now, it was a big night in sports tonight. Aaron Torres in for Mike Harmon. And we had the Thursday night football game, which seems like it was like 5 years ago now.
It does.
After the night's game, it's like, oh yeah, we had a Thursday night football game. So let's put a capper on tonight, rapid firing our way through both the NFL game and big final thoughts on the Dodgers. And wait till we tell you who's starting game one of the NLCS. First thing I can tell you, you know, we talked about this a couple of times, AT, with the Bucks tonight, is that the only thing that can really slow them down is if their age catches up with them. Being a veteran team, things are great now. It's early on in the season. It's week six. They win on a Thursday night. You know, they're 5-1. Things are great, but they're veteran laden at a lot of positions. You know, it's not just quarterback. It's tight end. It's wide receiver. You know, you got guys on defense too that are all over 30. JPP and David. It's Sue. It's really difficult to say that, all right, can they be playing at this level the rest of the season? That's the only question for me right now is about the Bucks. Is that will they be the same team in the middle of December that they are now, or will injury and ineffectiveness that comes along with age come up and really bite them?
Well, that's a concern, and I do think in the bigger picture, I just think there's a lot of good teams in the NFC. But as we also discussed, you know, they got a pretty manageable schedule going forward. And it's funny, I was thinking about this. What was always the criticism in Belichick when they were rolling in New England? The division's so bad. They have so many wins built in. Well, the Bucs get the NFC East this year, so they've obviously already played Dallas. They've already played Philly after tonight. Still have the Giants and Washington. Neither team's very good. They still have the Falcons left on the schedule. They still got one game left with the Falcons. They got two with the Panthers who are trending in the wrong direction. Another one with the Saints, one with the Colts. I mean, you start to look at the schedule. There are a lot of wins built into this thing, and so they're sitting at 5-1. The NFC West is going to beat up on itself, and I would not be surprised at all if we see a scenario down the road where they end up with the number one seed. And as you said, Jason, if they can stay healthy, they're going to be in great position to make another run in February.
Now, for the Eagles tonight, it wasn't a great night for them, but they, you know, they nearly pull off the upset. It's not a great night stat-wise from Jalen Hurts, but still, he runs for two touchdowns. He throws for one. Some team is going to be really happy when the Eagles trade him to them after the season's over, because as good as he is, look, this is a guy that puts a lot of pressure on the defense, and he's someone that defenses have a very difficult time trying to gather around. He's almost like the next Lamar Jackson, because he still runs a very similar style. He runs almost as often as Lamar does, doesn't throw the ball quite as well as Lamar does, but he's got that kind of skill set. But it's clear the Eagles don't believe in him. It's clear that they think, well, he's only our guy now. We have a new coaching staff coming in. They want to go through the draft and draft their next guy in the top 5 or 10, and they want to move on from Jalen Hurts. If I'm an NFL team and I have weapons, I call the Eagles and say, hey, we'll take Jalen Hurts off your hands. We'll give you a second round pick. I'll even give you a late first round pick for him. And the Eagles would say, great, take him. And then I'll put him on a team with some weapons, because right now the Eagles have nobody. I mean, he's this exciting and this difficult when the best weapon the Eagles has is Quez Watkins. I mean, come on. You're not going to win games that way. So somebody's going to take him, and he's going to be a terrific quarterback, and people are going to go, wow, what a bad trade the Eagles made. The Eagles have always been down on him. He will blossom. He is a terrific quarterback, and it will be someplace else he becomes a star.
I'll tell you this. One thing I learned tonight working with Jason, president of the Jalen Hurts fan club. I mean, you love you some Jalen Hurts, and I'll say, I think he's a really talented player. I don't think we have any idea what his capability is as an NFL quarterback because of what he is surrounded by, and he is. Like, he is a guy that can make plays, he can extend plays, all that stuff. I'm not sold that I'm quite as high on him as you are, Jason, but I will tell you, we're not going to find out in Philly, one, because he doesn't have the talent around him, and two, it does seem like they want to go in a different direction. They want to bring in their guy, all that good stuff.
Now, from the baseball game tonight, guess who is scheduled to pitch game one of the NLCS on Saturday?
I'm very, very excited about it.
Tebow's going to throw. He's going to be throwing heat.
I'm so excited.
Dave Roberts says the plan is for Max Scherzer to start game one of the NLCS on Saturday after a white-knuckle ninth inning. He comes in tonight and closes out the Giants. Look, Jansen went in the eighth. We were robbed of sweating Jansen in the ninth inning because the Dodgers had to pinch hit for him. But Scherzer comes in and honestly should have been out of the inning a lot earlier. You know, Justin Turner makes an error on a ball he usually comes up with. And other than that, the game would have been over. But it looks like Max Scherzer is going to go on Saturday. And when you think about how much the Dodgers are relying on him, this is why people hate the Dodgers. Because in the middle of the season, they can say, yeah, we're pretty good. We got to catch the Giants. We got the prospects. We can give up our top couple of guys and get who's going to stay. You know, Turner's going to stay. Corey Seager's a guy that's likely going to be on a different team. But this shows you just what you can do when you have a great farm system and why people hate you, because you're the ones that can easily make that move. Because when you have good prospects, everybody wants your prospects. Nobody wants the top two prospects the Mets have because they're probably terrible. But the top two prospects the Dodgers and the Yankees have, there is a disproportionate amount of love for guys like that. So this is why people hate the Dodgers, because they always seem to have what you need to go get the guys you need. Yeah, Scherzer's 37, but it doesn't matter. He's still got at least 3 good years left. Trade your shortstop for the next 5 years. Yeah, this is why people hate the Dodgers.
Well, no, I think it's completely fair, and I enjoy the Dodgers living in LA, but when they did make that trade at the trade deadline for Scherzer and Turner, you sit there and say, you know, they're playing a different game than basically everybody else. So we'll see if it continues as they get set for the NLC. Yes, but I can understand the frustration from a non-Dodgers fan.
Twitter at how about a Fresca? Aaron at Aaron_Torres. Great stuff tonight, buddy. Did you have fun? This is a big night.
I had a blast. Thank you for. I know Mike Harmon, usually mans this seat, but if he's ever at any more concerts, you always feel free to hit me up.
He likes to go to concerts, so
okay.
I'm sure we will.
I like to
have fun this weekend. Up next, my buddy Ben Maller, who's probably hammered right now.